Good evening, everybody. This is Vertical Live Radio. Tonight we have a great program. We had to cancel it last time, but thank goodness we were able to reschedule it and get our guest, Jackie Latran, who is the founder of Teen Confidence Academy, to come back. I thought it was a very good topic that we should really talk about. There's a lot of teenagers that are struggling right now, but there's parents that are struggling too when it comes to building confident teens. So we're gonna talk to Jackie. We're gonna talk about what she does. We're gonna talk about what she feels that are some important aspects of building teen confidence. And the question I have was, how do you know you are raising a healthy teen in regards to confidence? So we're going to hear from our business sponsor, who is Alkalogic Water. Alkalogic Water is alkaline water, which is very good for your body. So we're going to have a commercial by our sponsor, and then we will be talking to Jackie Latran, the founder of Teen Confidence Academy. Thank you, everybody, for your support, and we'll be back shortly. Okay, well, we're not going to have our commercial. And so that was the only problem that we had, and that's something we'll have to check again. But Alkalogic Water, you know, if you call them and say Vertical 10, you get a 10% discount on any of their watering, of their water systems. You can call them at 1-844-344-ALKA-2552. They're located in several locations in California. You want to talk to Fee King. Alkalogic Water is water that makes sense. If you'd like to go to their website, the website is www.alkalogic.com. And thank you, everybody, again. Thank you for your patience. We'll have to figure out what that issue is the next time we have our show. But now I'd like to introduce to you Jackie Latran, and she is the founder of the Teen Confidence Academy. And she has on here that her low self-confidence at one time when she was a teen paralyzed her from taking action and reinforcing misguided beliefs. That's one of the reasons that she got into this particular program. It's one that I haven't seen really there. In fact, I haven't seen one at all. And I think it's a great idea. DoSomething.org reports 75% of girls with low self-esteem reported engaging in negative activities like cutting, bullying, smoking, drinking, or disordered eating, which compares to 25% of girls with high self-esteem. So I'd like to introduce you to our guest, Jackie Latran. Hi, Jackie. Are you there?
Hi, Celeste. I'm right here. How are you today?
I'm so good, and I'm so happy that we're able to have this program, especially with a lot of things going on with our teens. It seems that we're really dealing with low self-esteem. Confidence more than we thought we were.
That is definitely a problem that's going on quite a bit right now, and I think it's always been there, but it's not as widely talked about or noticed before. But as we progress, we're noticing that more and more. You know, if it's untreated, we'll see it in adulthood. So
right, exactly.
That's why I'm just so passionate about this topic. It's just really in the prevention piece of it, so that he grows up into healthy, confident people.
Well, Jackie, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into, how you started the Teen Confidence Academy.
Okay, I can definitely do that. So, like you mentioned, growing up, I had really low self-esteem, and that's leaving my country when I was 9 and immigrating to America and not knowing the language or the culture, to having a very strict mother who, it just seemed at that moment, no matter what I did, it wasn't good enough for her. And I was constantly shot down with anything I wanted to try. My mother was opposing it because her main focus back then was really on just education and obedience. And so because of all those different experiences, what I learned to believe is that I'm not important, that what I say, what I think, what I feel, none of that is important. So my self-esteem went downhill big time. And because I didn't have any confidence in myself, I started acting out. That statistic you gave right now, definitely I fit in there. I was engaging in a lot of, you know, high-risk behaviors. I was skipping schools. I was hanging out with a bunch of people who were doing very illegal things. And by the time I was 16, I found myself pregnant. And at 16, you know, when the other kids are out having a good time, I'm home with this baby, and I didn't know what to do with him. Being a single, unwed mother on public assistance at 16 really took my self-esteem down big time. But at the same time, because I had my son, I had to do something about it. So, you know, while it was a negative situation, that moment is also was what got me interested in taking care of myself and then turning this into taking care of other teens. So I've been working with teens now for probably 19 years. I've lost count. But most of my career, I worked in the medical field as a nurse practitioner. 7 of those years, I owned my own medical clinics for teenagers. And, you know, I wanted to really provide them with a safe place to go to, because that age is really hard. And because of my own teen pregnancy, the thing I was hoping to prevent was other teen pregnancies. And, of course, mental health issues. And so I started my medical clinics, and the whole purpose was giving them a safe place to go. But about 5 years ago, I turned away from doing medical care and turned more toward holistic care, because what I was seeing was I was prescribing medication a lot for mental health disorders. And I would see the same patient over and over and over and over again, and I was prescribing a first medication, a second medication, a third medication, and the symptoms are still there. So I got really discouraged. And so I started looking for other options, and what I found is just so amazing. I'm so in love with it right now because it's actually giving people the power to take care of themselves. It really teaches them how to take care of their thoughts, their feelings, and their actions. And so instead of being, you know, dependent on me or on a medication, I can help these teens to really understand themselves and take charge of themselves and make the right decisions for themselves.
And I like the idea of being more holistic than to you know, I understand for some things we do need help with medication, but I love the fact that you're doing something that says, okay, so you know what, this is really something that we can do holistically and not through medication. And I really like that. I think that in some cases, prescribed medicines are, you know, medicines are prescribed and actually alter more than they help.
And I would agree, and it took me a long time to get to that place of understanding because I was so trained in the science way, and that's all I can see. But then I also saw the pattern of people coming back with the same symptoms without resolution. And now that I've been working on the holistic side for the past 5 years, I'm seeing resolutions. I'm seeing people getting off their medication. People who've never known what happiness looks like are now happy and fulfilled. It is just amazing.
You know, you said something that I don't want to go too far without us touching on it. You said when your mother, you know, your mother kind of felt that being more strict was the key in, you know, calming you down, okay, I'll say. And I think a lot of, you know, I can only speak for a lot of minorities. I think a lot of minority children grow up and their parents overcompensate by thinking, if I just, you know, if I'm more strict, if I'm more, you know, if I do more punishment, they'll straighten out later on. But I'm really seeing that that's actually not a great mindset. What do you think?
Well, I think it depends on where you live. So, you know, I can only speak for Vietnamese because I'm Vietnamese. If I was in Vietnam raised that way, I would probably end up a little bit different. But because the culture is so different in America, it doesn't work here. So my preference would be to teach by support and by love and by encouragement. But my mother did the best that she could with the tools that she had, and the tool she had was you don't spoil the child. You want to make sure that the child grow up to be their best, and being the best is always pushing them for that next level. The problem with that, though, is when you are always pushed that way, you never feel successful. You never feel good about yourself. So, you know, And, of course, there's that opposite, too, where parents are just too lax and, oh, I just want my child to be happy, and whatever they do is completely, perfectly fine. And that creates a different set of problems. So a nice mixture in between where there's discipline and structure and safety net and support and love, I think that's the best way to parent.
That's great. I like that answer. Well, tell us about the Academy. And I wanted to say, too, because when you were talking a little bit, I want to hear more about the Academy. I remember growing up, my uncle had a place for teens to go called the Teen Post. And it's really interesting because that was so long ago, but it's interesting what you said because some of the things you said are kind of some of the elements that he was thinking about when he created it. The Teen Post was kind of, you know, near most of the junior high and high schools. It was a place to go, especially if your parents were working and couldn't be home when you got home. It was a place to go where you didn't feel by yourself. You know, you're with other kids that were, you know, going through the same situation. So tell us more about what your Academy is about.
Definitely. So Teen Conference Academy is a little bit of prevention and a whole lot of more healing. So the clients that I normally work with are the ones that are struggling with real issues now. Not just a little bit of lack of confidence, but they might be into the level of anxiety and depression, and some might even be suicidal. So the reason I started the Academy was because I just saw so many teens just struggling with the mental, emotional health issues, and there's not a whole lot of teen-specific options out there. I mean, I'm sure you know this, because, you know, when I was doing my research on teen healthcare and the options available, there's a few handful of options. The first option is the one that's widely known, which is the traditional route where the counseling and medications are the bulk of treatment. The second option is getting more popular in the last few years, and that's coaching for teens. It's, you know, getting a mental health coach so that they can work the teen through different issues. And the third option was pretty extreme. It's for a more severe situation, and that's like residential facilities and wilderness camps. And there's definitely a place for all of these different approaches, but I didn't see the option that I wanted to provide. And as a parent, I didn't see an option that I would want for my own child. So when I started the Academy, my whole goal was to give parents and teens a completely different option for care. Again, go back to the holistic thing. I really want a very holistic approach where the teens are respected and valued and when they're seen as not broken. So rather than working on just a symptom, I really help them to identify the root cause of the problem, to identify it and to release the negative self-belief, and also to create new belief system that match what they truly want. You know, belief system where they feel good about themselves, where they're not comparing themselves to others and feeling bad anymore. They're just looking inwards for their self-approval and self-love. And when that happens, it just, it's magic, you know, because then they can move into their greatness and just really be that happy, positive, confident person. And because we work at the root of the causes, it really allowed the teen to transform in a really short amount of time. So I do this with one-on-one sessions, and I do in groups.
Okay. Well, how do you get parents to engage with you in such a way that can be helpful with the teen?
A lot of it is just really teaching the parents that there's alternatives, because by the time the parents bring their child to me or call me for, you know, questions or options, they've pretty much tried everything that they know how to try. And even with the best parents, because you're the parent, the teen oftentimes just don't really, you know, hear what you say and have a lot of hold a lot of weight to what you say. But I, as an outsider, can say the exact same thing, and they're like, oh, my gosh, Jackie's an expert, and she said that. That must mean something. So just, you know, teaching the parents about growth and development, about what's normal and what's not normal, and how they can also check within themselves and see what kind of negative belief system that they themselves are holding that can be, you know, a contributing factor to this. So really involving the parents that way, knowing that we are a team, that we're working for the benefit of their child, and just keeping that dialogue open is really helpful.
How can they reinforce the teens when they are away from the Academy or what they feel is a safe place? because I know teens spend a lot of time away from when it comes to school and maybe extracurricular activities. That's a lot of time mm-hmm. away from family or from what they consider their safe place. What
right,
do you give
right.
them to reinforce that?
So I think the biggest thing that they can
teaching.
Do, yeah,
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing I think they can do is, again, keeping that channel of communication open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like having set time, perhaps, where they can have conversations. Having set
mm-hmm.
times where the child can just really say what they need to say without judgment. That's the key, is without judgment. I think one of the best things that parents can do to build up their kids' confidence is showing trust in them. Because when
okay.
you show that you trust your child is more likely to trust themselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
like we talked about a little while ago, parenting style, you know, whether it's too strict or too lax. If you're too strict and everything they want to try, you say, no, 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 it's too dangerous, don't do this, they're not going to learn their capability. They're not going to learn how to make
mm-hmm.
decisions for themselves. Same with
mm-hmm.
the parents
mm-hmm.
that try to rescue the kids. I see this a lot where, you know, the kid would do something, they would make the mistake, and the parent just fix it for them. And
mm-hmm.
that takes away so much from the kids. It doesn't give them the ability to think, to focus, to learn and reflect. And that takes
mm-hmm.
away their self-confidence and self-trust. So
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest things that I think that parents can do is really create that foundation of safety for their children is by instilling trust. And one way that
mm-hmm.
you can do that is really involve the kids. Let them know that they are important, that what they think, what they say, what they feel, those are all important things. So you can
mm-hmm.
work together, perhaps, on setting up family rules. You know,
okay.
that will show the kids what I think and feel is important. Of course, you as
mm-hmm.
the parent have the final say. You definitely don't
mm-hmm.
want to have rules that go against your core belief or rules that will create danger for your kid. But if this is something they want to try or they believe in, and maybe your belief is slightly different, be willing to see
mm-hmm.
their point of view. They're not you.
Okay.
You're not them, you
mm-hmm.
know. But involving
mm-hmm.
them that way really helps them to
mm-hmm.
understand how to work within the group, how to work within the environment, and it helps build strength within themselves. And then reinforcing
okay.
the boundaries. Reinforcing those boundaries
okay.
are really important. A lot of us,
mm-hmm.
we set up all
mm-hmm.
these rules and we set up consequences, but when the child does something, there's no consequences. Those rules don't get followed through. And so
mm-hmm.
when that happens, the kid doesn't feel safe. They don't know what to expect. So
right.
involving them in setting up the rules, setting up the consequences, and reinforcing the consequences is incredibly
okay.
important. And when you reinforce
mm-hmm.
those consequences, it is just, you know, very matter of fact. These were the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You broke the rules. These are the consequences. There's no need to shame
mm-hmm.
the child. There's no need to make the child feel bad in any way because, again, that will take away confidence. Versus, okay,
that,
we talked about this before. These are the rules. You broke
right.
the rules. These are the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you're saying because that's something that even with, you know, that I always say that you have to be consistent you know, in what you're doing. But you said another thing here, you know, it's been such a trend on social media to humiliate, and I'll say humiliate, okay, because I see a lot of people, I see a lot of parents literally, you know, getting on their kids or make an example of them for something that they
mm-hmm.
did on social media, and then they'll videotape it. And I'm not really, every time I see a video like that and I say, you know what, you, and that's my opinion. I don't know if anyone else thinks this way. You become the child's first bully.
Yes.
By humiliating, because that is not punishment. That's humiliation.
Right, right. And that's not going to teach
yeah.
them a lesson. The only thing it's going to teach them is to devalue them and devalue you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think is the biggest issue that teens face today?
You know, I think the biggest issue is probably not very different than when we were teens, and that's just fitting in. It's just that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the teen years, there's just so many changes that are happening for them, right? Their body's changing. Their feelings are changing. They're trying to push away from their family, but yet they still need to have that comfort of being a part of something. So
mm-hmm.
instead of seeking that comfort in the family, the teen years, they turn away from the family and they seek for that more into their peer group. And
mm-hmm.
it's a scary time. their body's changing. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what's happening. They don't know what's normal. They compare their body to the other kid's body. And they want to just mm-hmm. like fit in. But at the same time, they're like, well, I'm not developing at the same rate. And that can make them feel pretty insecure and uncomfortable with their own body. And mm-hmm. again, during this time, they're really looking for that approval. They're looking to their peers for approval. And mm-hmm. they're starting to notice they really want to feel a sense of belonging. But with the teen mm-hmm. phase, they notice more differences than they do familiarity. So it becomes okay. this awkward thing, you know, I'm this way, you're not that way, I have this thing, you don't have this thing, you can do this, I can't do that. And it's that constant comparison that if a kid doesn't have that solid foundation and it doesn't feel good about themselves, they might start seeing themselves as different. They might start telling themselves that they're not good enough. And that, mm-hmm. of course, creates mm-hmm. a whole different set of problems.
Okay. So I want to ask you, what do you think is social media, what do you think are maybe the adverse effects of social media on teens?
Well, you know, first I want to say that I don't think social media is all that bad. I mean, like, it's okay. in the news all the time. Don't let your kids on social media. And I don't really think it's all that bad. You know, in fact, mm-hmm. I think social media can be a really, really wonderful place for support and for entertainment and education. Because there's so mm-hmm. many positive people on social media that you can follow and you can learn from. I still do that to this day, right? There's so much good
yes.
stuff. But like any other activity, it's how you do it. It's when you're overdoing
mm-hmm.
it. It's when you're right. so engaged in the social media world that you're ignoring your own real-life world that becomes a problem. But
mm-hmm.
that's not unique to
mm-hmm.
social media. That's anything. It could be an obsession with sport. It could be an obsession with video game, watching TV, YouTube videos. If you overdo anything, that is when it becomes a problem. However,
okay.
with social media, there's a different set of problems, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, teens spend a whole lot of time with social media. And that goes back
mm-hmm.
to with teen needing to fit in and belong to their group. And that's how
right.
they connect. They need that constant connection with their kid. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
they think they might be missing out on something. And they don't want to miss out on anything,
mm-hmm.
so they feel like they have to be on social media all the time. And that can, of course, affect you adversely in many different things. It can take you away from real life. It can take you from school. It can take you from sport. But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
the other big problem with social media is the comparison.
Okay.
They're seeing these images that are doctored and fixed, and everybody looks like they have this beautiful, perfect life. Because seriously,
right.
who posts, you know, on social media, I had a really crappy day. You know, I got beat up again. Nobody
right.
writes that. It's always
right,
at this
right.
fancy place and hanging out with these amazing people. And it just
right.
looks like everybody's life is perfect. And then when you do
uh-huh.
that and you compare yourself and you're like, oh, but I don't have that, you start to feel bad about yourself. And
mm-hmm,
teen two, this
mm-hmm.
thing was, it was quite an eye-opener when I was hanging out with a couple of my teen nieces. We were driving
mm-hmm.
back, I think, from Canada, and we were driving back, and, you know, they posted a picture, and they're checking it constantly. How many likes do I have? How many likes do I have? How many likes do I have? And then
uh-huh,
they get disappointed
uh-huh.
if they don't have enough like in a short period of time, because that's
mm-hmm.
their popularity measure. That's how they measure
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
what they think, what they feel, what their experience is, if it's good enough for other people, is by the like. And that can
mm-hmm.
lead to so much anxiety that is completely unneeded. It leads to sadness.
Right.
It wastes so much time. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, while social media can be fantastic, it can be very problematic. And we haven't even talked about bullying and what's available with social media, right?
I mean,
it's so much easier to post a mean picture or to say something mean online, because you're not looking at that person face-to-face. You're not looking into their eyes. You're doing that thing. It becomes
mm-hmm.
so easy to do that activity. So bullying has definitely become a lot more. And, two,
mm-hmm.
you know, back when we were teenagers and we made a mistake, a couple people might know about it. Now if
right.
you made a mistake, it's recorded. It goes viral.
Yes.
Everybody, not just in your school, everybody knows about this. And it goes
right.
viral so fast, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of pressure to live up to. Thousands of people hearing and seeing your mistake, and it get replayed over
what?
And over and over.
That's a lot of pressure for us adults. I'm always,
it's a lot
I always say to
yes.
my, I always say to my kids, like, don't let me see any of my pictures on social media.
Right.
So I could imagine what a, you know, for a teenager, you know, I could imagine the pressure, you know, because of,
right.
as adults, you know, we've learned to, you know, as an adult, we've learned to, you know what, that's not all that serious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for a teen, they're still, you know, they're still developing and finding themselves, so that could be crushing.
Definitely. And that goes back mm-hmm. to social media is not bad, it's how you use it, right? So as parents, we can definitely mm-hmm. monitor that. Depending on how young their kid is, there's a lot of things you can do. If they're younger, you know, young teens, you can definitely monitor. You can limit their time. You can create, you know, contracts for them where they get X amount of time on social media, that you get free
mm-hmm.
access to their site so that you know what's
mm-hmm.
going on with
mm-hmm.
them, that you can look at their phone at any time just to go through and see what kind of
mm-hmm.
apps they downloaded, because there's a lot of very, very harmful apps out there. And you as a
right.
parent want to make sure you stay on top of that. It's, again, how is your child engaging in this? Have those
right.
conversations,
mm-hmm.
you know, be your
mm-hmm.
friend, be your child's friend on maybe, say, Facebook or Instagram, but kind of stay in the
mm-hmm.
background. You know, nobody wants that mother that comment on every picture, right? So
mm-hmm.
you want to
mm-hmm.
be their friend so that you can see what other people are posting. You can see what's important to them, what's current to them, but stay in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Be there just
mm-hmm.
to get the information to have that conversation with your child.
Well, I was one of those that I was one of those parents. The kids didn't have their own computers and radios and stuff in the room. We pretty much everything was family oriented. But I will say that my bonus son, he's 15, and when he first came to visit, I was kind of one of these parents that was like, oh no, you can't play video games. They're evil. They do this and they do that. And even though I played some games, but you know, my games were more about, you know, intelligent choices. But, you know, he came to visit, and, he just took over my computer. So we would sit there and play games. And it was very interesting. I learned a lot in that summer with him because he was a very analytical kid. And he really explained these games, and he would explain to me the stories and, you know, and what makes a good game is a good story, and, you know, how you can, and he would say, you know, he would, actually, he had one game where he just built a whole city. So
mm-hmm.
I started to see that there were some very positive games out there that weren't just, you know, way out, but, you know, really some really positive games. So I learned a lot in that summer, you know, with him, and I also learned that he was a very good judge of games that he wanted to play and didn't want to play. And it was very interesting, his take on that. So I would say, you know what, parents, sometimes you just have to sit down and listen.
And I love that. I really love that you sat down and you listened with a very open mind. I mean, initially your instinct was no, 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 no. But because you were willing to sit down with him and see things from his perspective with an open
yeah.
mind, you got to see something really cool.
Right, and that was the younger son, because the older son, me and him would laugh, because he said to me one day, he had to go to counseling, and we were talking, and another mother was talking about how she didn't feel right about taking something offensive down from her son's wall, and
mm-hmm.
my older son is hilarious, because he had some problems, but we were walking out, and he said, well, that wouldn't happen in my house. He said, you wouldn't even care. You would just go tear it down and throw it away. And he goes, and I just wouldn't say anything, you know. So it was very interesting that I, you know, had those couple of different shifts with, you know, with each child because they were all just different ages. But seeing how important that is nowadays, you know, like you said, one thing that I really like what you said, too, is that different environments and where you grow up, it's a total different thing when you come from one environment to another one, and
right.
how you're able to have some control over what you, you know, of how you teach your child or how you discipline your child or how you, you know, how you're going to react to, you know, where they're at. Because I imagine you coming here was a really big cultural shock, especially because, you know, you're coming here and you're seeing the whole different thing with teens here versus teens in other countries. But it's a total different thing. I understand that. It's a total different thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's a total different frustration for parents as well.
Oh, yeah, you bet. for all of us.
Well, you've written two books, and I want to talk about your two books before we have more questions. But you've written two books. The one you've written about is one of them is called Reclaim Your Happiness, mm-hmm. and the other one is called I would, but my damn mind won't let me.
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to tell us about both books.
Definitely. So I'm smiling as I'm talking about this. So the first one is called Five Simple Questions to Reclaim Your Happiness. And I came up with this book because I was using this in my sessions continuously because, you know, people would get stuck in an emotion. And when you're stuck in emotion, it's hard to see a way out. You don't want to let go of that emotion. So I started using these questions in sessions, and I'm like, I need to just write this down. It is so simple but very impactful. And so the first question is really, the first book is really about how to use those five simple questions to identify and release your unwanted negative emotions, right? Okay. And the first question is very simple. What am I feeling? A lot of us don't even know what we're feeling. We call everything, I'm mad or I'm angry, but sometimes that anger is really irritation. Sometimes it's disappointment, you know? And when you label everything the same, it becomes heavy. It becomes very burdensome. But when you stop and look at the emotion and you realize, okay, so I'm irritated right now, I can deal with irritation. So I'm disappointed right now, I can deal with that in a different way. And then the second question is, why do I feel this way? A lot of people just know they're angry. So why they're angry? And, you know, when you can really understand why you're angry, then you can do something about it. And really, there's only three reasons for getting upset. There's only three reasons. No matter why you're upset, you can trace it down to one of these three. One is unmet expectation. You have an expectation that wasn't met, so now you're upset. Second one is miscommunication, a misunderstanding between two or more people. And the third thing is thwarted intention. You intended to do something, and then something else happens that prevents you from doing that thing. So once you identify why you feel the way you feel, then you can understand how to correct it. Third question is this feeling useful for anything? And most of the time, you're going to say, no, this anger doesn't use, you know, it doesn't serve any purpose for me. Fourth question is, how can I see this differently? It's about being willing to pause and just look at the situation again and see maybe you're missing something in the first place. And if you're missing something, if you have that information, will you still be, you know, having that negative emotion? This question is my absolute favorite question, and that is, would I rather be right or happy? A lot of people, when I get to that question, they start cracking up. They start laughing. Yeah, you're right. I'd rather be happy, you know? And when you go through step by step with those questions, by the time you get to the fifth question, you're just like, I'm done. This emotion that I have, it's just holding me back. It doesn't change the situation. It just makes me feel bad, and I'd rather be happy. So that's the first book. The second one, I would, but my damn mind won't let me. I actually got the title from my client. I heard that phrase so many times. I just couldn't believe how often the kids were saying that. My damn mind won't let me. I'm like, that's my book. And so I know, I was cracking up. And, you know, it's really fun. That's the only bad word in my whole book is damn, right? So if you're looking at that book and you want more bad words, you're going to be disappointed. It's all good stuff inside. It's just the title to catch the teen's attention because it speaks to how they think. So this book teaches teens how to understand and control their thoughts and feelings. You know, because most people think their emotions are just so difficult to understand and there's just no way to control it. And that's not true at all. It is so simple to control your emotions. There are a few simple tools that I mentioned in that book that will help, you know, anybody, whether they're a teen or an adult, to focus on staying calm no matter what the situation is. Because when you're calm, then you can reevaluate the situation and really see it for what it is versus reacting more like a knee-jerk reaction and making the wrong decision for yourself. So those two have been out since February.
Okay, great. And definitely we're going to make sure that everyone has a link to where they can purchase these two books. great books that, you know, you want to have in your library for your teens, to have something to read. And we're going to take a little bit of a break here before we come back, and we have a couple of more questions for Jackie. And Jackie, this is just great. I have to say, you know, I wish they had more of these academies, because this has been the perfect one for my team and some other teams that I know, because, as you said, looking for the right fit for your team, mm-hmm. there's really not many choices out there.
No, unfortunately
so,
not.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating for parents as well to find that right fit, and I think this is an awesome thing. But we're going to take a break here. I need to tell you about one of our other sponsors for our program. Our program sponsor is Hope's Crossing. Hope's Crossing is partnering with MidFirst Bank, and as you know, we're broadcasting from Phoenix, Arizona. Hope's Crossing is a nonprofit that helps women who have been incarcerated or have gone through addiction issues. They help them, these women, get back on their feet. But they really go to the heart of the matter. So they're actually helping women rebuild their lives. They help them reconnect with their families, with their children, and actually, you know, move them toward finishing school, if that's the case, or even finding careers. Now, remember, I said careers, not jobs. I said careers. I just went to a 5-year celebration with this organization, and it was just really a wonderful thing to see these women come back out and find this organization and go through it and come out. So what they're doing is they have a goal to raise $1,000. They're doing a program called Your Change Has the Power to Change a Life. So when you were thinking about why you were collecting all that change and saving it, this is what you're saving it for. You are saving it to empower a woman to rebuild her life. And if you have change, you can bring it over to Hope's Crossing. They're located at 830 North First Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. And from 10 o'clock a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m., September the 24th, it's on a Thursday, they're having an open house, and you can go and see the facility, talk to Laura C. Bullock, who is the CEO and founder of Hope's Crossing, and talk to some of the ladies. So everybody out there, you can also, we'll be promoting that for the next few weeks. They'll be taking this change up until October the 24th. I'll be promoting the dates to you on Vertical Magazine and on some of our other social medias as we go. So, again, you were wondering why you had all that change around the house? This is why. Mm-hmm. You want to take that change over for Hope's Crossing. Thank you to all of our supporters. Thank you, Hope's Crossing, our nonprofit that we support here in Phoenix, Arizona. So we've been talking to Jackie Latran. She is the founder of the Teen Confidence Academy. And it's been a great conversation, learning more about your teens, this organization. I wish it was around when we were working with my team. I remember I had teens that went through adolescence at all at different times, okay? So I was crazy mm-hmm. for about 15 years. So in that 15-year space, and I remember we just got through with my daughter had gone through it, and she was doing pretty good, and we were at the grocery store, and my son said, "Mom, I promise I'm never going to go through adolescence." And I said, "Please don't lie to me." I was like, "Cause he's on the verge." Yeah. So it was just really, really funny. But and you know, we didn't have anything like this when I was raising my kids to, you know, kind of say, you know, let's go over here. You know, I managed to not, you know, get them on medications and whatnot, and they've turned out to be very, very good, healthy young adults. But I will say, Jackie, you were recently on one of our other programs about suicide prevention, and it was great to hear some of the different issues that young parents are facing with their teenagers, having to make a decision if they're going to put them on a medication rather than, you know, a more holistic approach. So that was actually a great, great time, a great thing that you were on that program.
Right, I remember.
Right, and it was great that you were on that program. So tell me, what is your focus as far as where is Team Confidence, you know, going to go? I mean, I think that it's definitely something that actually, I mean, I would love to see you in Arizona as well, you know, to have another offshoot of Team Confidence. But where do you see Team Confidence going, you know, for you at this point?
Well, different goals for Team Confidence. One of the things I'm really working on very hard right now is my speaking career. I really want to be able to reach more kids. You know, seeing kids one-on-one in small groups is fantastic, and I love it, but I can only help so many. So I've been doing a lot more speaking engagement. I've been going to team conferences, leadership conferences, girls' summits, and into the schools, and really teaching them about how to take control of their minds. The program that my keynote is called How to Unleash Your Inner Superpowers. And so I've been going around doing that presentation. I'm just having so much fun because there's just minor little things that you can do to help boost your confidence level up instantly. And I teach the kids how to do that, and they have a lot of fun with it. So that's one thing that I'm doing. Another thing that I'm working on is making my group program an online program. I've been running the group for a while, and I finally tweaked it to a point that I'm really, really happy with. And it is a simple program that I can definitely put online as a, either self-study, where, you know, anytime you are ready, you can just get the program and start it yourself, or you can do an online group so that I can reach more people.
Okay. I want to ask you now, I hope that I see us in the future planning something to have you come speak in Arizona. I would love to do something and have you come and speak to some teens. Let me ask you about the parents, though. Is there anything that you are doing or would like to do to maybe give kind of like a parents 101 on teen confidence book or talk, or have you thought about that?
I've actually done mother-daughter workshops. And that is really, the focus of that is on communication, love, and respect. And that is really, really well received because, you know, a lot of the parents really mean well, but sometimes the way that they approach the situation, the kids might not be able to understand that. But when they're in a safe place, when they can explore that and when they can go through the exercises that I put them through and understand how often misunderstanding occurs, and how to correct that so that you are on the same page, so that you know that you are in it together, that you feel safe, that you feel loved, and you feel supported, everything changed. So I've done a few of those, and I'm looking, I'm talking to a couple people right now about partnering up so that we can do a mother-daughter weekend retreat where we'll do some work together, and then we'll take, you know, I will take the teens, and they would take the mothers and then work on themselves individually on healing and then bring them back together again. So that's in the works. I'm not sure when exactly that's going to happen, but if all goes well, you know, hopefully by the middle of next year for sure.
Well, definitely, you know, definitely you're going to be connected to Vertical because I know that we're, you know, we're going to be starting a couple of initiatives with teens, and I would love to have you as part of maybe a workshop to come and talk to the teens or even have a young women's tea. And those are some of the things that we're planning. So definitely, you know, you know you're in my book now. So I'm going to call Jackie for this.
Yes, yes, I would be very honored. That is something that I'm so passionate about. I mean, I don't know if you can tell by my voice. I'm smiling ear to ear. I love those events.
Well, I will say that when I see you, you know, and usually I go on to people's Facebook when I'm, you know, when I meet people and kind of get an idea. I will say when I go on your Facebook, when I first started talking to you and we were talking about this program, I said, man, she must be the happiest, you know, just you know, I mean, you know, some people just have a look that just says, you know what? I'm happy, you know, it's not that big of a problem, no worries, you know, this is, and I really liked that when I saw it. It was very engaging and I really liked it. So I can really tell you love what you do, and that makes a big difference. That's your passion. I'd like to ask you, what has been your biggest challenge through all of this? through developing your program, through, you know.
Well, do you want my biggest challenge in life or in the program itself?
I want your biggest challenge in the program.
I think the biggest challenge in the program is just getting the support behind me. You know, mm-hmm. when I first started talking to people about the idea of this, there was some resistance because this is something okay. new, and new is scary for mm-hmm. so many different people. And because mm-hmm. my background, I'm a nurse practitioner, you know, I'm mm-hmm. able to connect to the medical community pretty easily. And while I'm pretty well received, definitely mm-hmm. visits that said, well, you're not a licensed, you know, counselor. What you're teaching these kids, you know, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, they need mm-hmm. medication. What are you doing talking to them about potentially getting off medication? There was definitely a lot of resistance there, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. also a lot of support.
Oh, good. Well, how do you define success, though, for you, you know, in you starting this program and, you know, because success is defined differently by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think success has been for you?
So you picked it up on my Facebook. Success, personal success is happiness. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I'm constantly focused on doing, the things that bring me the greatest joy, the greatest happiness. And I'm mm-hmm. just so lucky that I get to do what I'm so passionate about. So every day I go mm-hmm. to work, you know, like, a lot of people drag themselves out of bed, and I have to go to work, and I hate this. I bounce out of my bed, and I get to go to work. That's a mm-hmm, complete different mm-hmm. mindset than I have to go to work. Is I get to go to work. And a lot of people, mm-hmm. by the end of the day, they come home, and they're drained. I come home from mm-hmm. the end of the day, and I'm more energized than in the beginning. Because when mm-hmm. I'm there and making those connections within their eyes, you know, it just means everything to me. Just knowing mm-hmm, for a mm-hmm. moment, even if it's just for a very brief moment, that I was able to give that client a slight relief, a slight hope, a possibility. That just brings me so much joy. So I'm just so blessed that I get to do what I love mm-hmm. to do so much.
Let me ask you this, because I, you know, for women that are, you know, pursuing their passion, I would say, you know, so who's your biggest support team personally? And have you had to really juggle your family life, or has this just been a great flow for you when it comes to your personal life as far as this your passion that you're pursuing?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just incredibly lucky that I have the most supportive partner. I mean, mm-hmm. he's always my biggest cheerleader, and he can see amazing things about myself that I can't see yet. And he'll guide me, mm-hmm. you know, he'll lovingly point it out to me until I can see it myself. And the best part is, regardless of what I choose to do, he's in it 100%. And having that support, having that safety, have really allowed me to do whatever I want to do, try out new things, and recognize that, you know, even if it doesn't work out quite the way I want it to be, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I still have his love. Mm-hmm. I still have his support. And that has just been everything to me. And I can imagine, you know, like, I work with mm-hmm. someone who's a start a business. Their husband wants them invested in their current job to keep the financial status going, and I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so lucky to be in this position where my partner is just like, if it makes you happy, go for it. I'm 100% behind you. And I get the same support from my son and my sisters, too, so it's really, really nice. I'm always hitting them up for, you know, feedback. Well, I'm thinking about doing this thing, and I'm making this logo. What do you think? What should I change?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm constantly bombarding them with stuff like that, and they are so good. They're always really there for me. So it's been really nice.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that, that you have that support. It's very important because you are, you know, I could totally relate when you said, you know, having to be in front of the medical community and talking about what you do. Having to break down resistance, you know,
mm-hmm.
and having those, you know, trying to show some of the successes that you're having in what you do, it really is. It could be pretty hard, but if you have that family support, I think it makes a difference. You know, it makes you. I think it makes you stronger and makes you more willing to jump out there and leap out there in faith.
Yes, I definitely agree. I mean, without that support, I don't think I could do as much as I am now.
Well, we're coming to the end of our program, and for everyone who's listening, I'm definitely going to be, you know, promoting this program. This is a great, you know, if you have a teenager, this is a program that you want to listen to. If you have questions or you want to talk to Jackie, we're going to let Jackie give you some information on how to reach her. And Jackie, definitely any workshops that you might be at, you know, if you want to shoot them to us at Vertical where we can promote them, we'll be glad to. Because I think it's a very important subject, especially now for young parents who have teenagers. It's important for us to make sure that our teens are, you know, leaving home when they go to school. They're leaving home and they're having the confidence to not get involved in some of the things that are going on nowadays. How can someone get in touch with you, Jackie? Where are you located? What's your website? And how can someone get in touch with you?
So right now I'm in Orange County, California, and my website is teenconfidenceacademy.com. And if you go on there, you know, all of my contact information are there. My phone number is there. My email address is there. And my books are also there. So there are links straight to my books. And then the back of my books are also all of my contact information, too.
Great. And we will feature Jackie's books in the Vertical Reading Room for those who want to hear more information or be able to buy them. We'll put a link in there as well where you'll be able to go to the link right to where Jackie's books are and purchase the books. Jackie, okay, you get to have the last word. I'd like to, I'd like for you to, if there was something that you wanted to say to teens who may hear this broadcast or to their parents, what would you say?
You know, for both teens and parents, I really want to reinforce that happiness is a choice. It is not something that you were lucky and born with. It's the choice you make every single day, every single moment. No matter what the situation looks like, there are things that you can do for yourself to either maintain or reclaim your happiness, because true happiness is really an inside job. It is not something outside. So if you're chasing it on the outside right now, stop. Start looking inward at yourself and ask yourself those questions. What can I do today that will make me happier? And then do that thing. Do more of the things that make you happy. Go with your happiness bank, so that is always there for you.
Fantastic. Jackie, thank you for being on the program again. You've been listening to Jackie Latran of Teen Confidence Academy. We really appreciate you on here, and, you know, and I, you know, like I said, you're in my book now. I'm like, okay, we need to have Jackie come and speak at this function. So definitely, you know what, you know, you'll be on our radar. You're definitely part of the Vertical family.
Thank you.
Vertical means to live a no-nonsense, straight-up life. So that's what Vertical means to us, and our niche is to inspire people and to give them information that elevates their life and enhances their knowledge, and I think that we've done that on this program. So thank you again, Jackie, for being here. Thank you to our sponsors, AlphaLogic Water, water that makes sense, and their motto is hydration is the new healthy, fit, and happy. So you can go to their website at www.alphalogic.com. Or you can call them for a free estimate. Talk to Fee King at 1-844-344-2552. And thank you again, everybody, for supporting Vertical Radio. And thank you again, Jackie, for being on tonight. And we wish you much more success. You know, I'm putting it out there. I hope to see more Teen Confidence Academy in other places. So I'll put that out there. So you're gonna be like, why did she say that? Now I have to really work.
it definitely can work. It's out in the universe, so it's happening now. Thank you so much.
It's happening now. So we appreciate you for being on tonight, and you take care, and definitely we will be in touch with you. Thank you again. I so appreciate you for being patient with us and coming back and being on this show. I just love your program. So I'm looking forward to hear much more about what you're doing as well.
All right. Thank you, and have a great night.
You too. And thank you, everybody. This has been Vertical Live Radio. Have a great evening, and we'll see you soon. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to Vertical Live Radio. You heard Jackie Latran of Teen Academy, Teen Confidence Academy, and the music was Dreamer by Janine Cool. You'll be able to hear Janine Cool in another interview on the Music Cafe in October, so I hope you'll be listening in. Thank you, everybody, and have a great evening.